Welcome to episode 131 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. As many of you know, especially if you listened to last week's show, a new event called Photo Live recently had its first outing in London. I was there, taking to the stage to deliver a couple of presentations each of the 2 days, and of course I recorded them both for those of you who couldn't join me on the day. So, in this week's show, I'm talking through a particular image I produced earlier this year, one which some of you might remember from the written article entitled The Making of a Campfire and Tent Shot. If you didn't see that post on the website, don't worry, there's a link in this week's show notes. Now, a quick apology for the odd bit of background interference now and then in this recording. Unfortunately, that's just the nature of these presentations sometimes, but it shouldn't spoil your enjoyment of the recording. Right, enough waffle, let's get straight on with it. Welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 131. So, the final presentation from me this weekend. And this is kind of a talk through of how I created a particular shot. It's a sort of shot that a lot of people aspire to create when they're out camping and hiking and this sort of thing. And it's kind of typical of the sort of thing that I would do if I'm set up at camp of an evening. So when you're on location and you're thinking about settling down for the night, often you've got a scene like this, which is your camp set up, your tent, and you've got a lovely sun coming through the woodland, or you might be on a hillside and what have you. And at this point, having been on the hill all day and, hey, that's three, brilliant. Having been on the hill all day, so I'm just a bit excited, you know, people. And plus you came earlier, I'm touched. You know, you'll be doing all the photography through the day and you just kind of feel like, just want to put the cameras away, relax, have a drink and just a chat with colleagues and what have you. But I tend to think, well, I'll have a look around and see what opportunities are within the area that we've set up. It could be that we've set it and pitched the tent very deliberately for a particular space. So, of course, it's been a long day, absolutely knackered, and your usual response is to do that. Take your own picture because there's no one else wants to be photographed at that point. Very, very snug. I use downfilled sleeping bags and really nice tents that stand up to all sorts of weathers. But of course, the photographer in me thinks beyond these walls, I know what's out there and what could be. So the shot I'm going to talk to you about today now is this one. And this was shot in Dorset earlier in this year. And there are kind of, my approach to this, there are three main aspects to this. You've got the overall location, it's obviously the woodland, so you can define that it's the woodland because you allow a reference to the sky to get that contrast. You obviously have the two tents here, but then you've very clearly got the fire. And each of these aspects needs a certain consideration when you're setting up your shoot. Now, as you'll see, If I was doing some portraits of someone and I was using maybe two or three lights, you set up each light individually. So you think, right, we're going to light this bit, and when we're happy with that, we'll turn that off, and we'll do this one, turn it off, and so forth. Then you do the test shot for the overall, and it's the same difference with this. It's just the subject matter changes. So just to give you a basic rundown of the setup. This was shot on a Nikon D800 on a 24-85 lens. It was shot at f5.6 at ISO 100. The focus is down here, and often people say, well, why are you using it 5.6? Surely you want it to be nice and sharp, and if it's long exposures and what have you. There are two reasons, really. One, if I'm shooting f5.6, this final exposure was 25 seconds. If I'm shooting f11, 16, and what have you, you're starting to talk minutes, and the amount of time standing around in the cold in a down jacket. Oh, top tip, if you're going camping, take some whiskey with you. It does wonders for morale and keeps you warm. I was with a colleague there and, you know, you can fall out with people very quickly if you've got the wrong kind of whiskey. And I had some Johnny Walker Black Label, which always goes down well. And yeah, in a little hip flask, and does wonders. That's not how I started the fire, by the way. It wasn't so. I should have thought of that. That would have been brilliant. Anyway, I digress. So, camera mounted on a tripod. The only other additional accessory, as it were, two or three things. One was an electronic cable release, so I don't have to touch the camera. And two additional light sources, which you see up here. One of them was my colleague's lamp, which is hanging here. The other is a little LED. It's got something like 24 LEDs, and that's suspended from a loop in the top here. I also had another, like a headlamp, a head torch, like the one you saw in that wonderful self-portrait. That's just so I could see what I was doing with the camera. The other thing, of course, is a way to time your exposures, whether you use your phone or a stopwatch or what have you. So let's have a look at the first picture. And my starting point, and there's never a right or wrong way to do it. Did any of you guys speak to a chap called Andrew White? Have you seen his presentations? It's too late now, he's brilliant. But he shoots a lot of nighttime, like Milky Way and all this sort of stuff. Very good photographer. And he has a certain starting point, and he'll put the camera onto ISO 6400 at f2.8 and gradually work backwards till he gets down to something reasonable like ISO 200 or what have you. So this shot, again, f5.6 at ISO 100, and it was on manual, of course. You focus down here, you turn off the autofocus so that that is your point, that doesn't have to change. And at f5.6, it was 30 seconds. Now, there are certain things that are going on in here which are obviously not what I'm after. Oops. Oh, my flappy ears. I'm actually recording this as well, so I have to watch what I'm saying. If I talk about flappy ears, people might get the wrong idea. Booze and ears. Anyway, so you've got the sky here, which is obviously very, very light. You've then got the fire, which is clearly burnt out. And you've got this very harsh glare. Now, another top tip. Do clean your lenses before it gets pitch black, because it's really tricky to, you know, especially if you've got fire and there's bits of stuff floating in the air and what have you. You can see the wispy bits here. So you've got the sky, you've got the background. You'll notice there's no lighting on there. And my colleague's very messy because there's stuff's everywhere. But then you've got a lovely carrier bag in the bottom here, which the logs were in for the fire. This is quite a controlled environment. It's actually on a campsite, lovely campsite down in Dorset, and you can buy bags of logs and what have you. So there are several things. So you think, my rule of thumb is typically I'll start off at 30 seconds at 5.6 and what have you, and work from there. So my rule of thumb is to either double or halve the exposure. And on this occasion, of course, I went from 30 seconds down to 15. And that's what you get. So it's not quite right. It's kind of getting there. You've still got a bit of flare in here. Still got the carrier bag. And you've got the sky here, which is starting to, as you drop the ambient, you start to get that rich blue. And it's always worth remembering that depending on the weather, if it's cold, if there's a lot of condensation or what have you, you don't really want to leave your kit out getting damp too much, what have you. However, you do want to set up early and, you know, be prepared. So there was enough light to just about still focus on this occasion. At this stage, we introduced the first of the extra lights in the tent there, just to give us a kind of a marker. So at 15 seconds, the sky was starting to get that nice rich colour. There was starting to be a bit of punch in that tent. Now it's been lit. And if we look back at that previous shot, if you look specifically just at the glare of the fire here, it is quite noticeable. There you go. And obviously, like the light, how it falls off around the edges here and what have you. So that then brings us back to the final shot. Now, you would expect me to say something along the lines of, okay, so 15 seconds, we'll halve that again, or we'll just take it down the scale. The final shot, this one, was 25 seconds at 5.6. And the reason being, we messed around a bit with positioning of the light, because if you have these lights and they're pointing straight up, often you get a real highlight on the tents. So often they're pointed down, but equally you want to make sure there's enough throw on the light into the corners here, and not too much of a glare, that they balance and what have you. The other thing is, from start to finish, it was around about 9 minutes between the first test shots, the drinking of whiskey, and then the final pictures. My listeners are going to love this because they know I'm not a drinker, and everything I've said over the weekend is how I love whiskey. So that was essentially how we got to this. I don't do a lot of Photoshop. I use it selectively. I grew up shooting film, and I shot film commercially when you had to get the result. There was not a lot of the, you know, Photoshop was kind of used by graphic designers, so it wasn't really a tool for us yet. So I made sure that the bag disappeared. I did take out a touch of the glare. I could have left it in and it wouldn't really have been too offensive, but I just decided, because I can, that's what I'll do. I import my pictures through Camera Raw, and I typically, obviously I check everything's nice and sharp, but I'll put a tiny bit of sharpening on the pictures, only a fraction, and then on the black slider, I'll just use that, not the contrast, just the blacks, just to give some richness in those shadows. So you've got this kind of moulding of the light, the way that the light drops off into these corners. There's still detail here, and probably you'd see even better detail if we didn't have the lights here glaring down. But apart from that, I didn't really change anything. Often what I'll do, if I'll get a selective colours, and I'll want to make those pop because it's the client's product, or the guy might be, you know, the models will be stood there with bright jackets and you want to make sure that they stand out in the landscape or whatever. But as long as you do it subtly, so it doesn't just look like a beacon, it's kind of a fine line. And I've spent times where I've spent 45 minutes tweaking a picture, you go back through the history to the original and you think, I prefer that. So you think, well, you know, could have been drinking whiskey. There you go. So when you create that shot and you think, right, let's go and sit back in the sleeping bag and relax, you think, nah, we won't do that. Let's carry on taking pictures because it's getting nice and cold and the temperature. When I took this, it was that night, it was -1 with a -5 wind chill. It's perfect. Keeps you on your toes. Can't feel your toes, but it keeps you on them. You just know they're there. So this was ever so slightly different. You'll notice when you look at that previous shot, this following shot was kind of over here, looking sort of more oblique, something like that. So you don't have the other tent, you don't have all the fire and what have you. This followed that shot, so by this time the ambient levels are really dropping, but you'd be surprised, when you start working with these longer exposures, there's actually more light in a scene than you maybe realise. You can have great fun, you can start running around like Blair Witch idiots, lighting up all these trees, and you can do all sorts, it's fantastic. I do, I'll explain a bit more at the end, but I review kit, and I only review kit that I use in the course of my work. I've just been talking to a manufacturer of really good LED lights, and I said, oh yeah, I'm going to go and do some nighttime stuff, and they're very excited. And the challenge there will be, A, will it stick to my hand, because it's machined metal, and I'm going to be out in the cold. B, can it get wet and still work? And all these things are considerations when you do this sort of photography. So again, with this shot, we angled the little light. It was the same LED thing. You can buy these in Millet's. You can get them in Robert Dias. You can get them. Mine came from Mountain Warehouse. They're really good, actually. You can go in there and you can buy one, get one free, or that sort of thing, because you'll always lose one somewhere. So that was there, but it was angled more down to here. Another thing to bear in mind is make sure that stuff is tidy, because where you've got these shadows of kit that's inside, if you've just got like stuff everywhere, it's going to look messy. And things like with the underside of the tent here, you can see there's like the ground sheet, which I don't mind too much, that's fine. But there's a manufacturer's label that hangs down at this point, so I just took that out. It's you know, it's good practice just for details. I don't worry about that. But that shot again was around about 30 seconds. No real trickery. All this blue is just the natural blue of that scene. I haven't beefed it up or made it any colder or anything like that. So you can be quite subtle. You can allow more detail to show in shadows. You can do as much as you want. But then you can start to play around with the environment a bit more. So this is the same tent. It's a different location. This is actually on the outskirts. Are you guys from London area? And where are you from?
Slough.
Oh, okay. Well, this one was at Basingstoke, on the outskirts of Basingstoke. Really nice little campsite there. And again, I was on my own. Nothing better to do of an evening. So I thought, right, what I'm going to do, and you'll recognise this from the very first shot I showed you. It's still light, you know, well, it's not daylight, but it's dusk time, still coming through the trees here. So my usual thing is when I'm scouting for locations and what have you, so I think I will set the camera up in plenty of time, and I'll have a look. I'd already looked around to see how I might frame the tent. And my usual thing is to clip my little microphone to my shirt and start talking to myself, which in effect is me talking to the people that listen to my podcast. Because I just talk through what I'm doing, and if stuff doesn't work, I say it doesn't work, but actually this is how we're going to make it work. So with this shot, very similar, something like, I think it was a bit of a longer exposure on this one, which is kind of ironic given that it's brighter in the background, but it was somewhere in the region of about a minute, probably because I changed it was probably F8 or something like that. The same light, using it to light here. If you look at the original image, it doesn't really show up very well on here, but you have actually got details right into this, the corners here. For the tree in the foreground, bearing in mind that the colour temperature of light at that time of day is very cool, so it was my head torch, which, first of all, I had my head torch in there, and I used the LED thing, which was the right colour temperature, a little bit cool, but it wasn't powerful enough, so I switched them back. But I'd worked out that it was about 30 seconds for the exposure for the tent, but I needed to paint. You guys know what I mean with painting with light, so I needed to do that for the tree. So I kind of stood mostly off camera, and I just shone it around, and it lit up all around here in the bit of the foreground. Bear in mind, with long exposures, so long as you constantly move and you don't have a trace of yourself, you're not going to record. That's how you can often get the car trails. Many years ago, back in the film days, I used to use, do you remember the Met Hammerhead flash guns? Any of you ever used those? Big, heavy flash guns. And I was being a kind of a young, creative whippersnapper, and I thought, right, I'm going to do a long, there's a country scene, and there's a sort of a country road, and I'm going to set it up, and got lovely buildings and the street lights and what have you, but I'm going to feature in it. So I kind of set it up on a long exposure, and I ran along, and I held the flash in front of me, and took a picture. Brilliant. I'm going to appear over here as well. There's two of me now. Look. Yeah, I'm going to have the third one. I'm going to be right over here by this lamppost. Brilliant. When I had the film processed, it wasn't when I had the film processed. It was when I got back to the tripod, and I was thinking, oh, that's great. What else can I do? I thought, I could cover up the little light on the back of the flash that blinks when it recycles. So when I looked at the pictures, there was this little dot that followed me everywhere around the frame. So you kind of live and learn. For all the thousands of pounds worth of kit that you use, it always comes down to electrical tape. Always saves the day. Whether you break a lens hood, whether you need to cover stuff up. So that's quite a subtle picture with the lighting. There's no extra colours being affected all in the around the outsides there. But then you can go a little bit harsher. You can go the other way. I've deliberately included the same tent in in these shots, just so you can see that you can work with the same subject. And this technique can apply to whether you want to photograph your car at night and you might leave the lights on inside, or you working with buildings. If you saw the previous presentation where you got that hotel on the hill there, it's all applicable to different subjects. So again, still working with the two lights, getting a bit more information in here. I deliberately exposed the tent in this way to allow the background to drop off, because this was around sort of autumn winter time, and there were no leaves on the trees, and it was very stark, and there was actually a path that ran down in the background, and it wasn't particularly attractive. It didn't add anything to the shot, so I just let it do its own thing. And you know, it's not the best glowing tent shot because it doesn't show the context too well, but you know, as an isolation, it's not bad. If you're really bored and you've run out of whiskey, what you do, you chuck on your down jacket and you go and do stuff like this. And again, at the same time, it's the same time that I shot that previous picture, where it was sort of a different angle. With this, now there's two schools of thought. On the one hand, people say, oh look, you're not sharp and you're blending into the tent. Or you just think, okay, it's a creative shot, it's sort of mindless, arty nonsense, which I did it because I can and it kept me warm because I was doing whatever. The way this was created, I had the head torch in the tent. The focus was on this central zip here, because autofocus likes to lock onto really strong graphic shapes and lines, and that's the most graphic and shapey line that there was. And so I kind of knelt down here, and you can see that my boot here is nice and sharp because that didn't move. And as carefully as I could, I had the little LED torch in my hand, and I just started moving around to light myself, and very carefully kind of held it so that its back was to the camera, so I didn't have that trailing light thing. Switched it over and then started painting light with the other thing. Because the down jacket is quite a kind of bin liner, puffy kind of effect, you get this nice kind of shine. It's a bit of movement in my house, in my head. Oh dear. And that was how that happened. Again, similar exposure times, maybe 30, 45 seconds. So there's always this kind of a very real similarity with these. And by this time, the light had dropped off more, but then you were starting. Can you see how the sky has changed colour? It's more of a kind of mucky. That's because the light pollution was starting to become more noticeable. So the lovely cool glow of twilight had disappeared, and this yucky light was starting to make its appearance. And that was kind of the end of that. You'll notice the little tab is still in there. I think on another version, I think I edited that out, but on this picture, that's... Yeah, I left that in there because I thought no one's ever going to see this picture. So, lesson learned. Look at your pictures. But that is the final slide. If you would like to find out more about why, despite having a wife and family, I still like to sit in a tent and photograph myself and drink whiskey, you can have a look at various websites, the ones displayed on the screen, not the other type. The top one, gilesbabbage.co.uk, is my portfolio website. That's where you see the sort of shots that I create, which is everything from extreme sports to hill walking and all manner of different activities and what have you. The one below that, theactivephotographer.com, is behind the scenes of what I do day to day. Now, I will clarify, it's not Monday. I had jam on my toast. It's not that sort of behind the scenes of my life. It's I've been out doing this shoot, and I thought I'd share some thoughts. And I run a weekly podcast, and that podcast usually goes out on a Monday, and it's about half an hour long. Yeah, people seem to like it. If you're going to listen to it for the first time, there's over 130 episodes for you to catch up on, so good luck. There's the test and review stuff, like I mentioned earlier, everything from camera bags through to outdoor equipment like jackets and all the stuff that... So I only ever look at stuff that I would use or do use in the course of my activities. And that's just about it. The other thing to mention is if you guys go onto the WEX website and you hit the link for their blog, you'll often see articles that I've written for WEX. And it might be buyer's guides, it might be technique articles. What I usually will do is when they do go live, I will put the link, I'll put a page up on the Active Photographer, and it will give a direct link through to WEX. There's Twitter, Facebook, all the other things that we know and love so dearly. And that's basically it. So if you've got any questions, if you're feeling shy, you can collar me over in the corner, or you can just share it with the room and do the right thing. Or you can just check your iPhone and say, look.
I'm tweeting you.
Oh, thank you very much. Marvellous. So, yeah, if you've got any questions, guys, thanks very much for sticking around. I know it's the end of the show, and did I wake you up? I'm really sorry. but, yeah, thanks for your time. And, yeah, if you've got any questions, ask now or ask in a minute. Thank you.
If you didn't catch the recording of my first talk at PhotoLive, don't worry, there's a link in the show notes. Also, if you want to see the images which I was talking about in my presentations, keep an eye out for a couple of videos I'll be posting to the website just as soon as I get the chance. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's a Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or, of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcasts.